Today we begin a new series along the lines of the topic of versioning, and herein we discuss this as it applies to your relationships with other people. To begin, we want to remind you that the philosophical objection to the ways in which we often discuss metaphysics are that it encourages, on the one hand, narcissism, I'm at the center of everything and everyone must do what I tell them to do, or nihilism, none of this matters because none of it's real, so I can just do whatever I want to. Narcissism and nihilism are both an attempt to control, either by exerting control in very specific ways or relinquishing control with the idea that if it's all anarchy and chaos, you can really much pretty much do anything you want to do because it doesn't really matter in the end. But these are all if-thens. If I do this, then I'll have that. When we talk about the nature of who you are, we always remind you that if then is not ever going to happen. You're setting up two conditionalities. Once you achieve the thing the if refers to, then in the future, beyond that, you will arrive at the place that is after the then. This never occurs. You can't even get past the if. It never actually happens. It's entirely projected. So we are not concerned with the ideas of narcissism and nihilism. But we do know that the vast majority of our physical friends are highly astute on a psychological level. And this very specific topic, if it hasn't sort of rung a bell or lifted up a red flag for you, then you might not be paying attention to what we're talking about. But we'll say that off the bat. We're not concerned. We are not concerned because we know who you are. And we know that this is the right group of people in the right way at the right time in the right moment. And we're not unleashing or inviting you to unleash some hitherto unknown power. We're just talking about something we've discussed for many years in a slightly different way. So, with that said, let us talk about what exactly is on the table here. Versioning is basically you tapping into the other versions of yourself that you're creating by simply saying something as simple as, there is a version of me who is blank. There's a version of me who is in harmony with all the people I know. There is a version of me who is happy to be present with these people in this room. There's a version of me who is having a delightful encounter with this person right here. The amount of time it takes to say there is a version of me is more than sufficient time for you to engage your imagination and intend that which you desire, and that which you desire would be the words that come after who. There's a version of me who is at peace with this mob of unruly toddlers. There is a version of me who is able to respond quickly and easily to any question that's asked me. When you say there is a version of me, what you're doing is essentially manifesting that version, and all manifesting is instantaneous. And as we've discussed many times, if your reality doesn't contain the manifesting form, there is another version of you that does, because it must happen. It does not wait. You may delay it for whatever reason, but it is not delayed. it will seek manifesting form. In fact, it doesn't seek it, it has it. The fact that you're saying there is such a thing possible means there is such a thing in fact. The possibility is only because it's in another version of you that you're not tapping into right at that red hot minute. But you can, if you wish. So that's versioning. Who are these other people? Who are these unruly toddlers? Who are these people in this room? Who is this person sitting across the table from you? So not only are there other versions of you running around in other alternate realities, parallel realities, not only are there other versions of you with different personalities and bodies running around another time-space continua, there are also other versions of you looking at you right now, participating in this conversation. When you hear other people asking questions in these conversations, that's you talking. Now, in the New Age, it is often said that other people are a mirror, and this we very much disagree with. Other people are not mirrors. They're extensions. They have their own agency because you've given them that agency. Remember, you are manifesting this reality, this hologram, this dream, and everything inside the dream belongs to you. It has arisen because you've called it forth. It's not real. It has no enduring qualities. The essence behind everything is real. One of the ways we've described it when it comes to other people is that you're aware of the being of light who is your friend. But what you've done is you've borrowed a version of them for your own use. And that's who you're interacting with within the context of your physical reality. So the other people are you wearing the clothes, the skin, if you will, inhabiting the bodies that you see moving around you. But this isn't just about other people. It's also about objects. It's about anything and everything. In your three-dimensional experience that is moving along through the fourth dimension of time, what is happening here is you're experiencing something that looks like you've individuated yourself out from the fullness of who you are, and you've come here. Now, some of you believe that you were dropped here, essentially, as though you're an alien being dropped into the middle of this odd and bizarre land. That just is when individuation has probably gone further than you wanted to. There's some of you who believe that you're intimately connected to this, but that it's still something that's happening to you, just benevolently happening to you. And some of you just don't even buy what we're saying, and that's perfectly fine. We're not trying to convince you of anything, and we're not completely correct on anything we're saying. In fact, we like to say, and we'll say it here, and we'll say it loud, and we'll say it clearly, everything we say is wrong, except for the part where it's almost always right. And while the logic there is a complete disaster, it is nonetheless true. If you understand this, or if you have an inkling of what this means, this is completely wrong, except for the part where it's almost completely right. There's where all of your freedom is. Attempting to make something to be right, including yourself, is a long, hard row to hoe. But when you decide that you're probably wrong, but it's all going to work itself out in the end, you have a tremendous amount of freedom. And here, the freedom of which we speak is emotional freedom, mental freedom, versioning with other people simply means remembering why other people exist and what they're there for. You're manifesting this reality. Other people are here for the delight of their presence. And if you're not experiencing delight, and that's a very, very broad term, it can mean many different things. It can mean whatever it is that you want it to mean. If you're not experiencing delight, you can, because there is a version of you. If you're capable of imagining this as being a delightful, or at least a situation or a circumstance or a relationship with another person that feels better, if you can imagine it, you can have it immediately. And one of the fastest ways to get there is to say there is a version of me who is in the middle of a delightful encounter with this other person. Now, that's you positioning yourself in relationship to others. And here's where we're going to cross a line that the psychologically astute might find a little bit alarming. The other part of this series of conversations is about how you are also manifesting the other person to be that person you want them to be. An easy way to explain this is it's how they show up in your reality. That's often the way we've discussed this. In fact, we've said that hundreds, if not thousands of times. How people show up in your reality is entirely up to you, how you perceive them. But that sounds like putting on glasses and looking through a particular kind of lens. But there's an extant reality that's objective and observable. But there isn't. Everyone is subject to you. Everyone, everywhere, and everything in every place at every time in every way. And in fact, everything you're encountering and the way you're encountering it is rising up to meet you. Specifically because you called it forth, and it's rising up to meet you in the form and in the shape and in the way that you did. Now, to use the very rarefied and highly respected philosophical phrasing, there's no use crying over spilt milk. We do really want to remind you that asking why this person shows up in this way is a very interesting question that will fascinate you for years, but you will never get an answer to it, because there is no answer. You have things. There's no motivation behind it, not in the way that you think, not you might think in the psychologically astute way that there might be one. You haven't done anything wrong, neither has the other person. The recognition of this, that no one has done anything wrong. Everyone has just shown up in the way you asked them to, including yourself, liberates you. Because if you're trying to right a wrong, you can't, because the wrong happened in the past. But if you realize that you can shift things and move forward, because you're always manifesting either more of the same or more of different, but from the point where you are in the point of perception, in the present moment, what you see things as being, the way you see the relationship, the way you see other people, the way you see yourself in relationship to other people, and the way you hold that to be, you're always manifesting from that place when it comes to other people. Now, when we're talking about other people, we do literally mean other people. We don't mean any specific person. You can apply this, however, to anyone. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, beloved, parent, child, casual acquaintance, that person over there standing in the corner, whoever it is, everyone, everywhere, is an extension of you, not a mirror, but an extension. Everyone, everywhere is you walking around carrying out ideas that you gave them instruction to do. But not in a way that you would think of in terms of, here's how I'm going to manage my project. Not like that. How you got here with those people and how they are and why they're doing this, again, is a question that will fascinate you for years. and you will never be able to get an answer to. But what you can do if you don't like what is happening, you can have something different. If you do like what is happening, you can have something more. The simple, simple, simple way to do this is to just simply say, there is a version of me who is encountering this person in a way that utterly delights me. That's very vague. It's up to you to give specifics. And of course, through this series and through the questions that will arise in this series, we know that some very delicious specificity will come to the table. Each of you, acting as agents for the others, not knowing why or how, but you are, will be giving assistance to your friends, and you will be modeling, as you bring questions to the table, you will be modeling whatever it is that you're bringing to the table in ways that are helpful to others. Now, to be clear, we're not talking about whys and wherefores anymore. And we're certainly not talking about hows. So you can certainly bring your questions about whys and wherefores if you want to, but we're not really going to have much to say about it. And we'll be telling you that. We're not trying to be rude. We're not trying to be dismissive. But we do really want you to understand that why it happened is not significant, and where you're going with it and why you're doing what you're doing, while fascinating, doesn't really give you much insight into anything, because there's not much insight to be had here. This is you deciding for what you want more of. And you can contemplate it and conjure it and do whatever you want to with it. But the bottom line here is we would recommend you get down to brass tacks and decide you can have what you're wanting and go ahead and say, there's a version of me who is having what I'm wanting. So, we'll give you one example as a way of sort of starting this off as to how we would, if we were in your shoes, use versioning with other people. Let us say you are in a relationship of long standing with a friend, someone you've known perhaps since your childhood, or maybe that you've just known for a very long time, and you know an awful lot about them, and they know an awful lot about you. You've perhaps shared secrets or intimacies of some sort or another. You each know each other pretty well. Time has passed, of course, and you've gone your way and they've gone their way, and perhaps you've come back together from time to time, or perhaps you've never really left. You know, maybe you've always lived within a block or two or three or four of this person since the two of you were adults. So we'll just call this person your long-standing best friend. It is quite likely that while this person is utterly wonderful in so many ways, there are likely things about this person that might grate or irritate. One of the things you could do with this person is to begin to recalibrate your relationship with them. It doesn't take any effort on your part. It's not going to involve conversations, although you may end up talking about it. But it is not going to be the thing of where two people sit down and have a frank and honest, open conversation about what their needs and wants are, and then they come up to some sort of conclusion wherein they decide this is what we'll do going forward. From our perspective, that's a thing that only really happens in textbooks. We're not quite certain it ever really happens in real life, although perhaps it does. But the point here is to go ahead and tap into the power that is yours. And you might start off by saying, there's a version of me who is completely and utterly delighted by the presence of my friend of longstanding. Very vague, very broad, nothing terribly specific, You say that, and then you'll need to stop and feel your way into that. Now, we don't mean you probe your way into it, like sort of push away the clouds and go into it. We mean stop and listen and feel. You will feel a subtle shift. Now, there are two instances where this is going to be the most powerful. And there's one general instance where it's going to fall flat. But this isn't just about this topic. This is about all things where you're doing conjuring, where you're basically using your versioning to, or any sort of intending, to effect a change. So the two places where this is going to be useful, in particular, in relationship to a relationship. One is either right as you're walking into, let's say, the coffee shop where the two of you are getting together to have a piece of pie and chew things over, you know, just your regular weekly meetup, or sitting at that table, same instance. You're right there, you're either right in front of them or right about to be in front of them. So they're there in your reality, and you have a high level of anticipation about their inevitable presence, and you're in it, and it's now the dynamic that is the nature of your relationship is now unfolding and is now on display and is now happening. And the person is manifesting in front of you. Because remember, if you can't see them, they don't exist. They're entirely imaginary. So the first instance is going to be when you're right there in front of them or about to be in front of them. And we've often said one of the most powerful times there is right before you open the door to walk into the restaurant. Or as you're sitting in the car in the parking lot, or as you're walking down the street and you're coming to the curb where you're one block away from where you're going. That is the time, should it occur to you, that's probably the most powerful, where you're deciding in advance what that next segment of time, to use a word from our friends Abraham, what that next segment of time is going to be like. And if we were in your shoes in that instance, we would be saying things like, there's a version of me who is already sitting at the table and is utterly, utterly enchanted by this conversation. There's a version of me who is already enjoying catching up with my friend of long standing. There's already a version of me. There is a version of me right now who is already walking out of the restaurant and happy as a clam that I was there and that we had this time together, very satisfied and very delighted by what happened. There's a version of me who is feeling a great deal of relief because that difficult topic that I just felt like I had to get off my chest, I've gotten it off my chest and it went really, really well. And if anything, we're now closer than we were before, me and my friend of long standing. So that's the first instance. That's the one where you're pretty much going to have the most oomph, because it's right where you are. The person is there, or they're imminently there. They're just about to be there because you're just about to walk into the restaurant. You're just about to walk in the door. You're just about to go into their house, wherever it is that you're meeting. Or you're there already. And as we've talked about before in these situations, if you are finding yourself in a bind, you can always use the time-honored tradition of going to the bathroom. The inner holy, the sanctum, the place that is inviolate where no one will bother you. And you go into the stall if it's in public, or you go into the bathroom and you lock the door and you decide to reset yourself. And if you're going to reset yourself, you could say, there's a version of me who is also standing in this bathroom and very happy with what is going on. There's a version of me who feels the relief of this experience. There's a version of me who is happy to be here. So this is the first instance. The second instance that's powerful, not quite as powerful, but powerful, is going to be when you're going about your day and suddenly you think about this person and something about it bugs you. Stop. We know most of you are quite accustomed to sort of like, I'm going to be thinking about this while I'm doing something else. And you're stringing along, or as we like to call it, drip, drip, dripping, the contrast, the unwanted contrast that you don't like. So unwanted contrast comes up in your mind about your friend. They're not in the room with you. You're off doing this, and who knows where they are. And our recommendation is, instead of just kind of thinking about it, but keeping on track with your other tasks, remember one thing. You never need to do anything. It doesn't matter what you're in the middle of doing. You never need to do it. Now, there's lots and lots of things you're going to want to do, no question. But you have no obligation to ever complete any task at hand. That you do is because there's something about it that feels better in the completing. But saying, well, I can't stop and think about these things. I have to keep going. No, we'd say, no, stop. Just take a deep breath, if nothing else. And in that point where the contrast is strong, where what has happened is it's come to knock on your door again to remind you again that this is out of whack for you again, is you can shift it by saying, there's a version of me who is already on the back end of this process. If you don't know how to get anywhere and you don't know exactly what it is that's bothering you, you can always say that. There's a version of me who is already done with this and is feeling better. There's a version of me who feels resolved about this. There's a version of me who is relieved that this is no longer bothering me anymore. Or if you want to go down into it, you could say there's a version of me who is willing to look directly into the monster's eye, whatever this is, and let it move. There's a version of me who doesn't care about this anymore. Never did, never has, never will. You can do it lots of different ways. Because remember, you have the three choices with unwanted contrast. You have let the house burn down. And you could theoretically say there's a version of me who is literally pouring gas on the fire to keep it burning and is lighting a cigarette even as we speak. You could do that if you're just really, really, really ratcheted up into whatever this thing is. And then you just don't have any choice other than to just like have it. Or the second choice is go down into it. Feel the discomfort of whatever the unwanted contrast is. There's a version of me who is sitting here in the havingness of it, and I can feel the energy moving. The third choice, the one that's more common, and we've given these choices always in the order of least common to most common, the third choice is to turn your attention elsewhere. There's a version of me who doesn't care about this anymore. There's a version of me who's walking away from this idea right now. There's a version of me who has walked away from this idea, and I now remember what it was like before when this was consuming me and I couldn't think about anything else, it seemed. But now I'm more at peace with this topic, and it's okay. It's just an opinion, and I don't really care. I really don't give a shit. It's fine. So those are the two places. You're there in front of your friend, you're about to be in front of your friend, or you're going about your business and suddenly, knock, 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 here comes the unwanted contrast about the relationship, that thing that just is gnawing at you, and it's back again. These are the two places where you're going to have the most leverage. The place where you're going to have no leverage, which is a thing we're always reminding each of you really good busy bees who are always really good at getting your homework done on time, is that if you're thinking about all the things that you need to clean up in your life, don't do it, because there are no things you need to clean up in your life. Intuition is handing you literally moment by moment by moment the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. If you want to think of yourself as having assignments, you're always being given the next assignment, always. You don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to search for it. And it could be your assignment, quote unquote, is to not have an assignment. It could be that your assignment is to just sit back and take a deep breath and close your eyes for a moment. It could be that your assignment is to just realize there are no assignments. Who knows? In other words, we're saying you don't need to go in and reorder your life so that you can be efficient and get ahead of the game. Because when you do that, you're basically setting things up to continue to happen in that way, to continue to present themselves in that way. Let your intuition show you when it's time to do this, that, or the other. We'd recommend that with all things and all times and all ways. no matter the topic, no matter what we're discussing. So that is an example. Now, we've spent way more time talking about this than it would actually consume. We've spent way more time talking about this than you would ever spend doing it. Because it really is as simple as being able to gather your thoughts by giving yourself a straight line to go down, and you use the words, there's a version of me who, and then whatever is on the other side of the who is what you're bringing to bear, because there is a version of you who is doing that, and you're borrowing that from them. And it's very powerful. And all you have to do is practice this, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. The shifts will be subtle. They may be subtle, but they may have great effect going on down the line. You just don't know what's going to be behind that door before you open it. It's going to be better, because this is going to be a thought that feels better. You won't get any traction with thoughts that feel worse. So you don't have to worry about that. You may find yourself spinning wheels, but then again, if you start spinning wheels, that'll give you indicators that there's another thought that feels better than the one that you're trying to conjure up. And as someone asked us about the other day, when they said, I feel really bad that I'm giving all these terrible things off to different versions of me because I don't want to deal with them. It sounds like a statement of responsibility, of being a good, upright, upstanding citizen and taking responsibility for your shit, not giving it to other people. But this is metaphysics. You can't give away your shit because you don't have any shit. That's a perception issue. It's not an actual problem. So, that brings us to a close for this introductory conversation, this beginning point. We look forward to your questions. We look forward to what you bring to the table. Because we know that as wonderful and as amazing and as powerful as all of this is, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.